The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Thursday, June the 10th, this is The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. Multiple police agencies responded to a shooting at South Lake Mall in Clayton County this afternoon that ended with seven people detained and one person in the hospital. A Morrow police spokesman tells WABE officers responded to a shots fired call at about 2:30. Police say what apparently started as a heated verbal exchange inside the mall later turned into a shootout between two groups in the parking lot. Police say about 25 rounds in total were fired, hitting cars and striking one man in his thigh. Police say he's in stable condition at Grady Memorial Hospital. State officials named a new president for Clayton State University and a final candidate to lead Georgia State University today. Martha Dalton has more details.
Georgia's Board of Regents tapped Ramon Stewart as Clayton State's new leader. He's not new to the university system, having served as provost and vice president of academic affairs at Fort Valley State in central Georgia. Before his work there, Stewart was on the faculty at West Virginia State University. The Regents also named Brian Blake as the final candidate for president of Georgia State University. He's currently an administrator at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Blake is a native Georgian and attended Georgia Tech as an undergraduate. He's worked as an administrator at several universities, including Georgetown, Notre Dame, and the University of Miami. The Regents have to wait for at least 5 days before taking a final vote on his nomination. Martha Dalton, WABE News.
Another Georgia resident has been arrested on charges stemming from the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. 46-year-old Kevin Creek of Alpharetta is charged with federal offenses, including assaulting or impeding officers, physical violence on Capitol grounds, and obstruction of law enforcement. According to court documents, Creek traveled to Washington, D.C. on January the 5th carrying mace and a boot knife. Body camera footage from the scene shows a person investigators say is Creek punching and kicking uniformed officers. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is revisiting a Trump-era rule that affects a proposed mine near Georgia's Okefenokee Swamp. WABE's Molly Samuel reports under the current version of the law, the controversial mine doesn't need any federal permits to be built.
The law in question is about which waterways the federal government has jurisdiction over. Under the Trump administration's narrow interpretation, a titanium mine proposed near the Okefenokee Swamp doesn't require any federal study to get approved. Now, the Biden administration says it's going to revise that rule, but the process could take years. The mine does still require permits from the state of Georgia. Molly Samuel, WABE News.
We still don't know the origins of the coronavirus. Recently, there's been more attention paid to the idea of a so-called lab leak that SARS-CoV-2 might have accidentally escaped from a Chinese research lab. Carl Zimmer, a science columnist for the New York Times, has been tracking the evolution of the idea. On today's Did You Wash Your Hands? WABE's podcast about the coronavirus, health reporter Sam Whitehead talks with Zimmer about how it's been received by scientists. Zimmer starts by discussing how the theory first bubbled to the surface.
An idea of a lab leak was sort of on the table for a long time, but you know, a lot of scientists generally found it unlikely for a lot of different reasons. The reason it was on the table is simply because we know that sometimes viruses get out of labs. And so, you know, it's not like that sort of thing has never happened before. But, you know, it's a little bit like saying, well, maybe this person killed this other person because other people have murdered people before. It's not really that compelling. You then have to actually go and find positive evidence that something actually leaked out of a lab.
Well, sure. And the predominant theory over the course of the pandemic is for kind of an animal source of SARS-CoV-2.
Well, certainly when I talk to a lot of experts on emerging viruses, many of them favor very strongly the idea that somewhere along the line, this virus jumped from an animal to a person, because we know that that is how viruses spill over and over again. There are some scientists who feel that we just haven't even begun to do the real serious work of trying to figure out the actual origins of SARS-CoV-2. So, you know, we can't even dismiss or embrace any of these plausible possibilities.
So this idea of a lab leak has been kind of on the table from the start. Were there any people who took this seriously, whether in the scientific world or not? Because this is an idea that I feel like over the last year, at least in the general public, is maybe at first it was kind of dismissed as a little conspiratorial.
There were a lot of things happening all at once. So there were certainly scientists who said, well, you know, we can't rule out a lab leak. There are other people who said, well, wait a minute, you would be implying a whole elaborate set of circumstances in order for that to have happened. So remember, like, this would have meant that these scientists actually already had SARS-CoV-2 in their lab and were growing it, and that they had zero record of it. And then if you add into this all of the politics, well, it gets far more complicated. You know, the Trump administration had a lot of people who were very much anti-China. And so there was a lot of sort of anti-China rhetoric that was mixed in with things. The Chinese government was certainly being unhelpful in terms of understanding the early days of the pandemic. And then you add on top of all of this, there was a claim that people like Steve Bannon were pushing that this was not just a lab leak, but that this was actually biological warfare, that this was an engineered virus, that it was created to cause destruction, which no scientist that I know of thinks has any plausibility at all.
A number of members of the scientific community recently published a letter calling for deeper investigation into this. My understanding is kind of their concern is the lack of having found a smoking gun, the actual kind of spillover point. Do I have that right?
Well, some people have said, well, if this came from some bat somewhere, then you should have already found the virus in the wild. And that is a ridiculous suggestion, honestly. If you look at the history of research on where new diseases have come from, it takes a long time. And this is going to take a lot of work, too. And people think like, oh, it must have been in someone. We must know where it is already. Well, we don't actually. It could have originated across a range of thousands of miles. We don't know where it came from.
Carl Zimmer is a science columnist for The New York Times, and he was speaking with health reporter Sam Whitehead. You can find more of their conversation in the latest episode of Did You Wash Your Hands? Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. A Georgia immigration lawyer is part of a lawsuit to help Indian Americans who went home to visit family members during the pandemic return to the U.S. Charles Cook is an attorney with Cook Baxter Immigration. He says businesses are feeling the effects of the Biden administration's India travel ban, which restricts entry into the U.S.
It's causing havoc for companies that can't bring their employees back who went home, perhaps, to see mom and dad who were sick or to take care of them or who died.
The travel ban affects certain travelers who aren't able to get their visas reissued. According to census estimates, Asian Americans make up about 4% of Georgia's population. Indian Americans make up the majority of that percentage. And on the heels of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's update to international travel guidelines, the director of Emory's Travel Well Center held a briefing. Dr. Henry Wu says while the vaccine is the best way for travelers to stay safe this summer, he still recommends folks practice other COVID-19 health precautions, including wearing masks and social distancing.
In short, the world is opening up. Travel is increasingly possible, and some of us really need to visit loved ones in person or just get away for our own health. However, there's a chaotic mix of different requirements, and they are rapidly changing. So do your research and stay flexible.
who says international travelers should check local regulations and conditions before traveling. This is The Brief from WABE News. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.